Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. Welcome back. Two fanboys and a filthy casual back at you once again. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
And this is Harold.
Today, we are going to be celebrating our mothers. I think that's what we're doing, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, yeah, just checking.
What'd you say about my mama?
We're celebrating Lewis's mama. And that turned out really, really awkward right now. But before we, before we do that, you know, real quick shout out to any parents, any mothers out there that that might listen. I know we at least have a couple of mothers out there, so props to you for reproducing.
Thanks for doing your thing, and happy your day yesterday. once you hear this,
yeah, and go ahead. No, I was just gonna say, and this is a special time for obviously for parents and mothers in general, I guess, because you do have the weird situation that everyone's in, and that they have become the teachers. They've always been the life teachers, but now they're actually, having to do the academic stuff. So I know it's a weird transition for a lot of the people who are used to working having teachers do that part of their day, and then now them having to experience this kind of thing. It's you got to give them, everybody who's out there trying to teach out there, give them props. So.
Yeah, definitely. To kind of stay on brand, because we can't really just be like all mushy and everything, to stay on brand with our podcast, we Harold or Lewis, one of them, decided that we were going to celebrate our moms the way we know how, and that way is we talk about movies and stuff. And so Harold, Lewis kind of came up with the idea, why don't we talk about the moms from movies, like favorite movie moms. So any categories that are any like specific things that we're looking at in here, Harold? I'm confusing both of you. Lewis, or is just like anything goes?
I think anything goes at this point. I think, it would be a good exercise for us to kind of think about those special people, those special women in our favorite pieces of fiction's life, just like in real life. A good mother figure will help our heroes or help our story along. So, yeah, I think there's no real categories here per se, but let's see what each of us came up with. I think initially we had planned about, let's give examples of three of our favorite or our best examples of moms in movies and fiction and all that good stuff. And let's kind of go from there.
Okay. Well, Lewis, since it was your idea, let's start with you. Let's go. Okay. What's your first TV or movie mom?
Sounds good. So I am going to go a bit of I'm sorry. I know I just said it's no categories per se, but this one's going to be a bit of a cheat. But I'm going to give it up for Aunt May. So not necessarily the biological mother of our favorite web slinger, Peter Parker, but she is a huge mother figure, a looming character in the mythos of Spider-Man since, Steve Ditko and Stan Lee created him decades ago. And to a lot of our followers and a lot of modern fans, obviously we've had a lot of great iterations of Aunt May. Props to Aunt May for being, a big reason for Peter doing his good deeds and continuing to do so even in this modern age.
Well, I guess we have I have a little bit of an issue there, Lewis, because first and foremost, not a mom.
No.
And secondly, we have to we can't just randomly like lump Aunt May, because Aunt May from Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire one.
Oh yeah.
To Andrew Garfield, to Spittooey Spider-Man, each one
kind of brings its flavor.
Yes, exactly. So, which one are we talking about here?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, so personally,
it's the way the game works, Lewis. Yes. You're the one who came up with it.
Okay, so in recent memory, I actually want to give it up to
Yeah,
Lily Tomlin's portrayal of Aunt May in Into the Spider-Verse. So, you know, if you're not familiar to the movie, you know, in this version of things, Aunt May still is the mother figure to Peter Parker. Unfortunately, in the movie, Peter Parker passes away. But, you know, in this version of Aunt May, she is, you know, the doting mother figure, but she's very, like, I liked how she was proactive and she was still motherly, and she was, even though she experienced the tragedy of losing Peter, she was still super supportive of Miles picking up the slack and becoming the next Spider-Man. So, you know, a lot of love to her for that one. I like that portrayal. Now, nothing against the Tobey Maguire. Rosemary Harris was the actress. So she played, you know, the version of Aunt May that's a little older, you know, grandmotherly.
Damn, that's a good pull. How the hell did you figure that one out?
If we only had some kind of device that we can look up stuff, like the internet that I'm cheating on right now. So, you know, but she played a little bit more of the grandmotherly version of Aunt May, which, you know, it's fine, but I think that role kind of gets a little tired because, you know, in this modern audience, we're not really that used to or even like the whole damsel in distress or the bit of the cheat when it's like, oh, Peter's in trouble because the Green Goblin is going to hurt Aunt May, or in this one, you know, Doc Ock is going to attack Aunt May this time. So I was like, okay. And then no opinion on Marissa Tomei because I think she's had a combined 10 minutes of being Aunt May on film. Correct me if I'm wrong, but not a lot of, I mean, she might be the most attractive Aunt May so far. I mean,
be,
who knows?
Might be.
Hey, who knows? When they reboot the fourth time, it might just be like,
Lewis really likes the Sally one from from Tobey Maguire, dude.
Oh, yeah. They're talking about Andrew Garfield's.
Oh, that's right. Sally Field played that was, I don't know. They didn't really take advantage of, I mean, Sally Field's a freaking Oscar winning actress, and I don't think that they really used her as well as they could have. I mean, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. So anyway, that's my choice. Aunt May is one of my favorite moms or mom figures in comics and movies.
Okay. I'll go next. I'm going to use Lewis's cheat. Since it he didn't choose a mom, I'm gonna go with Mr. Mom, Michael Keaton.
What is going on here?
No, I'm joking. when Lewis talked about moms, there's a bunch of moms I can think of, but when it came up, one of the most the most memorable and the most touching mom figures I can think of was actually Nani from Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, okay. You know, cool, dude.
Kind of like Aunt May, not necessarily a real mom. In fact, it's the sister to Lilo. But, you know, caught in that situation where Lilo and Nani's parents both died. You know, at a young age, Nani had to take care and actually had to become responsible for Lilo. And, you know, if you watch the movie, she possibly could be one of the worst parents ever. and at the same time, one of the best parents, you know. She had to make do with what she had to do. You know, unfortunately, she was stuck with a precocious child such as Lilo. But, you know, she made do and she was able to provide. And so I think, you know, when we talk about moms, it's not always going to be the perfect. It's not always going to be, you know, the Leave It to Beaver type, you know, mothers. Now, sometimes real life mothers have to do what they need to do, and I think Nani is a great example for that one. Harold?
I guess I'll be the first one that goes with a mom,
Actual biological mother.
Well, technically.
Yeah, you will.
Well, yeah, that's happened before. But
shout out to anybody?
Yeah, I'm not going to name any names. The character I guess I'm going with is who... we're going with a show that I don't think we've ever really discussed in the whole time that we've had this podcast, mainly because it's a little bit old. Maybe we have, but the person I'm going to go with is Carol Brady. Carol Brady from the Brady Bunch.
What is going on here? Everybody's breaking rules.
Why? She's a mom.
I know, but we're talking about movie moms.
Oh, no, you said pop culture moms.
That's not what Lewis said.
I read into a pop culture mom.
Okay, then never mind. Go for it.
Sorry. Proceed. Because if we're going movie moms, is very narrow.
I'm gonna go with that. I'm going all. Are you gonna movie go with moms? Movie moms?
Okay, I have a couple movie moms, but I'll go with. Yes, I do. Carol Brady. Technically, Carol Brady, a movie mom.
Exactly. I was just gonna tell you that.
Yeah, because you know, she did those Hawaiian movies,
two Brady Bunch movies in the
90s. Which I really love, by the way. Both of those movies are great late night, passing the time away kind of movies. I was going to say late night, midnight movies. But,
Anytime you have Ben Stiller's wife in a movie, I'm down for it.
Yeah. And then Shelley Long right after Cheers. But also going with the original Carol Brady, Florence Henderson. We talk about... And she was in the movies too. But when I think of pop culture mothers, she's usually the person that comes to mind. Mainly because, yeah, she did raise those three girls on her own and then ends up having to raise three other boys and then their cousin Oliver, who's such a douchebag. But they, you know, all come together as a family. Typical.
Nobody accepts cousin Oliver.
Nobody talks about Oliver.
No, he should have lost his glasses like Piggy did in Lord of the Flies.
Jeez, dude.
We all know how that ended up. That's right, Lord of the Flies reference. Take that. but with Carol Brady, at least, it's like we had our definitions of what parents were back in the 70s and 60s. And this was a complete kind of a change because, yes, she was the picturesque model mother matriarch figure. But at the same time, not from a typical family because you have two divorcees or two split parents coming together to form a brand new family. And so she goes from her original parenting skill with just the three girls and then having to learn how to raise the three boys. And she always did a great job in all of those things. Yeah, she had a little help with Alice. Okay, not more than a little bit of help. But
I know, I was going to tell you that. Like, does that really count? Because it seemed like Alice was doing most of the work.
Well, she did, like, the grunt work. Like, she was Jeffrey. She was the original Jeffrey. which what, being, I will get into.
Being sarcastic and up in that grill?
Yeah. Oh, and then banging the meat guy. He's delivering meat, Sam.
Wait, are you saying that Jeffrey banged the Banks' meat guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
So, yeah, Carol Brady. I'm down.
Sounds good.
I just said Jeffrey, and you guys knew exactly which Jeffrey I was talking about.
Nice, dude. Oh, man. Okay, so...
Hey, Lewis, it's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes, I know, man.
Okay, checking.
See, I was actually going to ask Harold, do you know if it's canon, like, who did Alice belong to? Who did she belong to? Was she Carol's?
She was Mike Brady's.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how that goes.
60s, man. It was a different time back then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All
actually, right, well, cousin Oliver is her son.
Is that canon or?
with Mike Brady.
Ooh.
We don't talk about it.
That's why we don't talk about it.
Oh, nice. Okay, so for me, actually, I'm glad that you brought up, I can't remember his name now. But anyway, my choice for one of my favorite moms in pop would have to be Aunt Viv. So, you know, she kind of played the same kind of role that Carol did, but not as many. She wasn't a stepmom to three boys, but she did take, Will from her sister and from Philadelphia while being a good mom to her own three kids. So, props to Aunt Viv, even though she went through two actresses. The character was pretty consistent. She was very headstrong and very, supportive to her kids and to Will himself. So, one of my favorite characters. So, and Viv, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Which Bel-Air. And Viv do you prefer?
I know. I was gonna say.
That's my thing. So, I came to this country when it was already the second Aunt Viv. And then only in the reruns did I figure out, or did I find out, like, whoa, this is not the Aunt Viv that I knew. It's two different characters, I think. Like, the first Aunt Viv, a little Google foo, Janet Hubert, I guess. Janet Hubert played her. She played the role a little more headstrong. She was the one who had the dance background and really wanted to be the ballerina. And she was the one showing her kids that you can be strong and you can do what you want to do. She was very, like, you know, like almost a political version of Aunt Viv. And for, you know, and then the second Aunt Viv was a little quieter. I'm not sure if that was a choice per se, or if that was like something that, that did that. But, you know, she's still loving and supportive, but she became more of a typical, you know, sitcom mom at that point. H, let me ask you, since you're the expert, why did they replace her again? Do you know why?
Apparently she had issues with the star of the show.
Really?
Yeah. The first,
Janet?
Yes.
Carlton?
Yeah.
That's why,
if you look up the, there's like a whole backstory on why.
Really?
She got fired by the show. And then, So, you know, they did that reunion last week?
Yes, on Zoom or on Facebook, right?
Yeah on like Will Smith's YouTube page or whatever.
Right.
And
who was invited?
not Uncle Phil.
Ooh.
Oh,
but they did a memorial of him, which is fantastic.
I mean, that counts as an invitation, bro.
Yeah, but yeah, she wasn't invited, and then it brings up the discussion again, like, oh, what was her issue with Will, and that's kind of where they went with that. So,
this is when I miss those true Hollywood stories. I would love to know, or I'll read up on it once we get off. But I think it's
called the internet.
I know. I'm gonna look it up while you two talk. I'm gonna look up why did Janet leave the show. But anyway, so that's my choice. Aunt Viv, both versions. Fresher and Spiller.
Okay. Interestingly enough, my second one is somebody that we already mentioned. Who was the Aunt May in the Andrew Garfield one again?
Really? Sally Field.
Sally Field.
Damn it. Okay, I gotta find another one then.
Wait, who are you thinking of?
I know who you're thinking of already.
Well, I'm going Mrs. Gumpf.
Good choice.
Was that your choice? Yeah. Okay, just checking.
Of course. I got one movie one and that was it. All right.
She did everything to make sure he got into that school.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. That's what we're going to
talk
about.
Literally everything, dude. I was just thinking about it. It's like, man, you know, we always celebrate, you know, Forrest Gump. Like, we always talk, we always think that Forrest Gump did so much and so well. No, it's because of Forrest's mom that he was actually able to become what he was. You know, I mean, I know it's a movie, I know it's a story, but given the time that it was, given the situation that it was, you know, things could have been way different for Forrest Gump. It could have been like a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest type of movie for Forrest Gump. Instead, Forrest was able to go to the military, fall in love, have a kid, and everything, all because of Forrest's mom. And the one thing that I kind of didn't like is at the end, I wish there was more of a. Was there ever a mention of did Forrest Gump ever talk about his mom to his son, like, at the end of the movie?
I don't remember. Actually.
No, he talked about his mom. I mean, his like Jenna.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, like I wish that there was like some sort of mention there, some sort of reference, because he was. You know, his mama was so important to Forrest. But then I think it would have been cute to be able to have like a, if that, I don't know, if that book that Forrest had at the end belonged to his mom, or it was a book that was given to him by his mom or something. But for me, you know, just that scene, I still remember, for some reason, one of the scenes I always remember is when Forrest is outside and listening in to what's happening upstairs with his mom, and you know, the guy's like, your mom's a special lady or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the only thing Forrest Gump does is that, like that sound effect. It still gets to me. But again, mom had to do what she had to do in order to take care of his son. And I think for me, that's a great example of it.
You know what? That movie just showed a couple of days ago, and I forgot how much I love that movie. But there's just so many things about his interaction with Sally Field that cracked me up. But one of my favorites is when he walks all the way to the front of the house after serving the military, and he just goes, "Mama, I'm home." I wish he would have been like, "No shit, Sherlock." Or would have been like, "Really?" Yeah. Yeah. So that was going to be one of mine, but...
Yeah, it's like, you know, you did so much for Bubba's mom, you couldn't do anything for your mom? What the hell,
yeah,
dude?
She already had the plantation house, which they never call a plantation house. But, you know, giant house in the south, you got to kind of in for somehow.
Kind of a loaded thing right there. Quick question then, dudes. Jenny, on our mom power ranking... How does she do?
Good, because she was able to bring his son to a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
So the son is set for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But her son sees dead people though. That's right, Haley Joel Osment. So
or
whatever or is he happened like a to robot? That guy, dude. That guy was in everything as a kid, and all of a sudden, bam.
Yeah, he was in AI as, you know, Steven Spielberg's little robot buddy in here. I take it back. He was in The Boys. He had like a small cameo role as like,
yeah, he does random. He randomly shows up as like a fat guy now because he's fat.
Mm, got it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that career trajectory did not work out too well for him. But, you know, we have the memories. We will always have the memories.
Oh, puberty.
I mean, it worked out for Foggy Nelson.
Yeah.
Was he a kid actor?
Yeah.
Okay. Dang. Now I got to look that up. Go ahead. Please continue.
Wait, hold on. You don't remember who Foggy Nelson played as
a
child?
No, I do not.
I'm literally scratching my head if you guys can't see this. It's a series that Dennis and I and you reference a lot.
Yeah. Let's see.
Dennis's favorite sports movie is not named Rocky.
Oh my gosh, he was in the Mighty Ducks.
Yes. Now which one?
No, I know. Like, wait, which one was he now? What is he, the goalie? No, not
Goldberg. Goldberg's dead, right?
He's
in jail or something, but
he's not looking drugs. Too well.
He discovered drugs.
Yeah, oh well, this is happening, Lewis. You need to figure out who Foggy Nelson is.
Look it up real quick.
I know.
No, real quick. Don't look up.
Figure it out.
He's in the first one.
He's in all of them.
No, but he started in the first one. Okay.
Okay.
He was not part of the original team. He got added onto it.
Dude, I don't remember their names, man. That's a tough one.
No, do you remember how he got added on there then?
Yeah, in the alleyway.
Yeah. So that's like fate, right? Because if he never intentionally, or if he never missed and almost killed Gordon Bombay, he never would have discovered him.
Do you know who it is yet, Lewis?
Yes, I see his face. I cannot remember his name since you're not allowing me to look up.
Okay, he's one of the Bash Brothers.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Wow, yeah, okay. Well, good for him.
Elvin Campbell.
Good for you, Foggy. Elvin Campbell. Wow.
His real name is Eldon something. Eldon Henson, I think?
Yes, that is correct. Eldon Henson.
But,
good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eldon Campbell, damn it.
Useless, bro. So I guess I should move on.
You should have a podcast, bro.
One with actual useful information? That's not going to work, guys. My next one is from a movie, and it's half and half, is she a good mom from the movies, it seems like it sometimes, but some people might think no. And my next movie mother is, or our favorite pop culture mother is Sarah Connor.
Oh, good pull.
So here's the question. Sarah Connor, good mother? Bad mother? Well, she's a bad mother.
She's a bad mother.
Yeah.
For sure.
But
ooh, that's a good one.
I've been thinking is she was good in that she tried to keep John away from her because she knew that the closer any kind of Terminator would get to her means that they would be closer to John, which is what their mission was supposed to be in terminating him.
Right.
But once they're in close contact with each other, or even all the training that she taught him up until, you know, she gets taken into her, the facility there, you know, it's all survivalist. So she's teaching him to be this great leader because he really doesn't know what exactly he's supposed to do until he's forced to do it. So, I've always thought of like that, like my favorite scene with her and John is when they get gassed out in that building, in the office building where Miles Dyson is. And, you know, her and him are taking turns wearing the gas mask so that they're able to get out. And then later on where she's putting on all the bulletproof vests on top of him when the T-1000 is chasing after him. Those are like great, sadly awesome, but pretty cool motherly moments.
No, those are actually like really smart little moves on her half. Thank you for reminding me. But yeah, that was like, if it wasn't for her during that time, it would have been, it would have been the end of John a lot sooner. But on the other side of your argument for bad mother, I agree, great mom, you know, raising a badass and then teaching him all the skills. I think the only part that I got to knock her on is the fact that she kept pulling or she kept playing, not playing, but, you know, she got herself institutionalized because she kept rattling off the crazy stuff. So maybe in theory, if you're trying to like protect your own son, maybe like scale back on it a little bit and be like, yeah, I'm normal, it's cool, and then run off instead of like spouting that robots are gonna from the future are trying to kill you and your son. But
but if you had that information in your head, wouldn't you want people to hear about it all the time?
Yeah, that's true too. You're right. That's right. And you
probably, if I knew what was coming, if I knew the future, I'd be like, yo,
everybody,
stop you know this.
But yeah. My son's the Messiah.
Yeah.
The only thing I could get the knock with on her is that, you know, in John Connor's death scene, she sees him and she doesn't do anything.
In Dark Fate.
Yeah, it's a Terminator. Oh. What am I going to do now? I don't know.
Well,
I've been preparing my whole life for this moment.
they were on a beach, so maybe the sand kept her from like leaping into action. I don't know. I got nothing. But you're right.
No, you could have like, hey, John, watch out!
Watch out! Stop talking to that chick. Turn around. 6'7" muscle guys coming your way.
Still wearing leather.
even on the beach.
Yeah.
Red flag right there. Red flag right there.
And if you have the whole beach, using the beach as a deterrent on her half, the fact that he's in biker boots in the sand. I don't care what kind of tensile strength you have in your leg, your robotic legs. It's pushing down into the sand.
yeah, dude. And I think canonically those Terminators like 1,000 pounds each, so that's got to be tough. Yeah. All right, so for my next choice, I'm gonna go to I'm gonna go streaming on this one. My choice is one of my recent favorite moms in fiction, Joyce Byers. So she is from Stranger Things. She's played by Winona Ryder. She's actually a choice that when we were walking the dog, my wife and I were talking about the subject, and she said, "I like Joyce." And I was like, "Do you like Joyce, or do you like Winona Ryder?" By the way? Yes, walking the dog is what we call it nowadays in quarantine. So you know, Joyce, she has.
Wait, you gotta go outside to walk the dog?
Yeah, man, because the kids are still here, dude. These walls are paper. These walls are paper thin, dude.
So is the fence, bro. Because I know where you guys walk the dog. At the school?
At the school. Well, nobody's there.
It's been weird. You've invited me and my daughter to when you walk the dog.
Oh man, our secret's out. I'm sorry. Oh geez. Anyway, so back to Joyce. Back to Joyce Meyer. So in the world of Stranger Things, she is a great single mom raising two boys. Unfortunately, the catalyst of the whole show, of course, is when Will, her youngest son, gets abducted and gets lost into the Upside Down, basically a parallel dark dimension that mirrors our world. But anyways, throughout the whole show, she shows a lot of strength, a lot of smarts, and a lot of wit and willpower to basically get through the whole endeavor and be strong in her own way. And instead of being I wasn't a big fan of those versions of Aunt May that was like, oh no, in any other world, I would like to think that this kind, these kind of mom characters where the son gets abducted would be, crying in the corner or running to the police or that kind of thing. But, Winona Ryder played Joyce as a very strong character, made some great choices, not to mention, I think, on a meta level, it kind of revitalized Winona Ryder's career because, for a while she wasn't really doing a lot, but, after Stranger Things, she's back in the limelight and she's getting some, a lot of talk. But anyway, long story short, I love Joyce, great character, one of my favorite moms in fiction.
Wait, so now that she's in the limelight, is she called now?
Winona Ryder. Stop it.
Okay. I should have a podcast.
You should do stand up.
I think Lewis is, Harold is caught. Did you find more bells? Somebody said.
No.
Okay, what the hell? The next one I'm going to be going. So I went for, two really good moms. I'm going to go for a bad mom. I'm going with Uma Thurman in Kill Bill. The bride.
Wow. Nice, dude.
I mean,
she's a bad mom, but
if you think about it, she starts her whole journey because of, I mean, aside from revenge, but the fact that she had a she was going to be a mom, and she that was the one thing that she was looking forward to, and so when that got taken away, she decided to kill everybody. And then my favorite part is that in the end, when lo and behold, turns out that your daughter is alive, and turns out that, yes, your mortal enemy, Bill, has been taking care of your daughter, who loves Bill. And then what do? You kill Bill.
I mean,
they did the thing.
It's in the title.
You just ruined your daughter's life, dude. Yeah,
this
fine.
Poor girl, I know this poor girl's like, who are you, strange lady that just killed my dad?
Mommy, yes. Yeah, so we've been showing you pictures of who your mom is. Very good. But remember that guy that you've known for the last 5 years? He's gone. He's been murdered. And what do you do now? You are in a motel room with your mom crying hysterically while you get to watch Sesame Street. Good job. You are never
just watching
have...
that this week like I was.
You're never going to have a good life. No,
I all were, dude.
I think so, dude.
Because I was watching it, too.
I was like, I know it was on TV.
Like, I still remember watching that movie. I was like, oh, man. So, this is a movie where she doesn't get what she wants because she has to, she has to give up and sacrifice for her daughter. Oh, no. He did the thing. Oh, well. So, terrible mom.
I was thinking the same thing too about you about I was thinking about almost using her because I love that series and everything, and yeah, it's terrible because she literally does the 5-point exploding heart technique on him.
Classic.
And then just watches him walk away and die, and then when she goes to get her daughter, doesn't her daughter be like, where's daddy?
Face down in the lawn, buddy.
Yes.
Woman I just met for 5 minutes.
I know.
You're taking care of me for the rest of my life now? Sure.
Sure, I'll get in this truck that's named Pussy Wagon. Or was it already the convertible?
Sure, Bill had a huge house and a lot of money. Now we're poor.
Yeah. we're going hotel to hotel, and you're probably going to get murdered by Vivica Fox's daughter.
Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for bringing that up, because I think that's one of the best threads since we're talking moms. Because, like, correct me again, Harold, but, like, wasn't Tarantino, or wasn't there rumor, or at least, you know, this usual Tarantino talk of, like, a possible, not sequel, because obviously this is already a two-part movie, but, like, a follow-up to Bill. And I think I would have loved to see that, because when the bride does kill Vivica Fox's character, I can't remember which one of the snakes she was, you know, she looks at the daughter, who's maybe a little bit older than her own. She says, "When you're ready, you come and get me." And I was like, dude, that is a great send up for a possible sequel. It's like, you know, Vivica Fox's daughter, ironically, out for revenge against the woman who killed her own mom for revenge. So, I mean, it's definitely like got that grindhouse feel to it, but I'd love to see if they can pull this off eventually.
Yeah, but then the sequel cycle would never end, because then BB, the daughter, would be like, "Oh, you killed my mom."
Oh, I know.
Then someone else would be like, "Oh, you stabbed my friend in the..." I don't know. It's just going to get...
Yeah, because you know one of those crazy 88s got a kid.
At least.
Well, I know. Out of those 88 dudes that the bride, like, you know, chopped their heads off. It's like, "Daddy, no."
Well, there was only one kid that got away and had a baby, so...
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that little kid is the only one that escaped, so... Props to that guy. That's a sequel we all don't need to see.
I know. One guy. Hopefully he opened like a restaurant and he's just retired now. Just chilling.
My next one is, I'm going to go back to television. Actually, you know what? I'll stick with a movie. But it's movie slash, I guess, real life, because it's one of those movies based on an actual somewhat true story, whatnot. And I'm going to go with Leanne Tui.
Blindside?
Yeah, The Blindside.
Gotcha.
Because, you know.
Oh, okay. I was like, Leanne who?
Exactly. Oh,
okay, thank you.
But,
you had a name?
Yeah. Hey, I'm pretty proud of the fact that I got that one, dude.
I know, dude. Yeah. Good for you, man.
And it wasn't one of those things where Dennis was like, huh? Like, process. I love that movie. It's super over dramatic for what it's supposed to, you know, from the real life tale and everything. But man, you cannot help but maybe she won an Oscar for that role. Probably should have won an Oscar for Speed, but Demolition Man. But instead, we get her doing this, they're saying it's some kind of... Some people don't like the movie because they say that it's like
white savior.
The white savior thing, and like forced child labor, basically. But it's like, we're only gonna take Michael in if he learns how to be this hulking football player.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if he had no talent, then they probably would have just left him on the street with his trash bag in his hand. You know.
Oh God.
And then, so
fair, that, I mean, fair.
It's super. But the part that I love the most about that movie is when she goes in to get him once he leaves the house, and he goes back to living into, you know, his old place with his friends and family who are still criminals and drug dealers, and she literally is just like, "I don't care what the consequences are. I'm gonna go in and get him because I do care and love for him like he is my own child." So. Yes, it did work out in real life as well, where he ended up being a successful football player and whatnot. But the lesson of white savior is always going to be something that people are going to bring up. But the journey itself of her and then having kids that were brought up well enough to know that they should also accept him as part of their family, instead of just saying, "Oh, he's like my stepbrother," or "He's just some guy that's living with us," and whatnot, and them accepting him as their own brother, that's always going to be something great for me. And they don't learn those lessons without, Leanne or Sandra Bullock or whatever you want to call her, teaching them those lessons, and then Tim McGraw owning all those Taco Bells.
Nice poll, dude.
Yeah.
Well then, do we have enough time for another round then, or
I think we're actually over already.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, great discussion about, you know, our favorite moms in fiction. I'm sure there's plenty more that we might have missed, or a lot of the choices that you, our wonderful listeners, can definitely like let us know. Let us know in the chat, or let us know in the on Facebook, Instagram when we post it. Please share who your favorite moms in fictions are, and yeah, we'll keep talking. We'll keep the conversation going from there. Now, before we go into our outro, Dennis had like a great little idea on our chat too. You know, in quarantine, a lot of us are getting really eager. You know, the governor, the mayor has kind of given us the light at the end of the tunnel that the quarantine is going to be over soon enough. And thank goodness we'll be able to go out and do the things that we used to do. I mean, you know, obviously, we're still going to practice a lot of the better safety practices and whatnot. But, you know, at least we'll be able to go out, go to the beaches, go to the bars, go to the restaurants, go to the places that we used to enjoy going to at night instead of podcasting at night in our, you know, caves. So, you know, the great question Dennis posed on our chat was, if we were to go out of quarantine and have drinks with two people from Star Wars universe, who would they be?
We'll go with one.
Okay, so who would be your one drinking buddy in the Star Wars universe? So I think that was a great question. Definitely great in this time. So yeah, then since you came up with the question, who would you go drinking with?
I would go with Lando Calrissian.
Oh, ooh, dang it.
But first, what would you drink?
A cold
Coke.
45.
You would drink a Coke 45.
You'd be drinking Coke 45. Dennis will have a Coke.
I will be having blue milk. No, but you know, I mean, think about it. It's not like just when I was thinking about it, it's not just like the conversation, which would be fun because, you know, it's always he's a smooth talker. He'd be funny. He'd be hilarious. But, you know, knowing Lando, you know for a fact that he's been to, like, the dive bars. He's been to, like, the sleazy places. He knows where to go to get a good drink and anything else afterwards. You know?
I like that you paused.
Exactly.
Anything good.
So, you know, like, what do you do after that bar? Lando will know.
Just trust Lando.
So just there you go. Hashtag trust Lando.
Trust Lando. And he has a sweet cape. Like, not a lot of people can pull that off, dude.
I don't think even Lando can pull that off.
Hey, man.
Whoa.
Okay. I'm talking about Donald Glover Lando.
Oh, yeah.
No. Well, give him his own series on Disney Plus. I'm sure he can pull it off. I'm sure they'll give him an origin story of that freaking of that cape. If they do a Solo and give everything a freaking origin.
Oh, God.
Escape from his dying mother.
We pretend that movie didn't exist, right?
Just kind of gloss over that. H, do you want to go first or should I go first?
You can go first.
Okay, well, I guess on the same thread that because Dennis did take my choice, but I think on the same level, I'm going to go with Han. Dude's got the fastest ride, kind of like Lando. I'm not sure if he has as many connections or as hookup as Lando, but I think Han knows the places to go to. He knows people and places. I bet you he'll know most of the bartenders and a lot of the bars. The only problem I can see hanging out with Han would be that bounty hunters are always on his tail. So dudes like Greedo and whomever else might come shooting up the place after like one drink, and that could really ruin an evening. Not to mention, I think dude's got like at least two or three exes that are pretty handy with lightsabers and guns, so maybe be weary of that. But otherwise, Han would be a solid buddy to go drinking with.
I don't know. I wouldn't go with Han just because I think Han is the type of guy. He's the guy who's like, oh yeah, dude, I know this one place, and you know, we have to go there. I know the guy. And then you're gonna go there, and it's gonna be like, you know, Cloud City all of a sudden.
Oh, be like, oh, this lame guy. Like,
oh, crap. Are you saying that Han Solo is Jay?
Oh,
ooh. Oh, I mean,
come on, dude.
I mean, like, let's go to this biker bar real quick.
Hey, we just pop in. We can't all be Harold, who knows the bouncer.
Shut up,
Harold.
Hey,
just one time too many, guys.
One time with us.
Exactly. One time.
How many times with your other friends? Is my question.
It's a good point.
Oh man, H, who would you go drinking with in the universe far away?
This is why I'm going last. Because obviously, as most people know, I don't drink. I don't drink anymore, so there's no one that I'd really go take to a bar with, because it's still awkward for me to be accompanied at a bar with just another person and me watching them drink, because it just seems creepy on my side.
Just watching the other person.
You know what I mean?
You can play Pokemon Go with them.
Oh, that's true.
Or you can ask how much their Turner prices are going, apparently.
Forever nerd, man. Forever nerd. But I would say, I think the most interesting person to take would actually be Leia. Because Leia's lived so many different lives that conversation piece, or just having a conversation with her, I think would be the most interesting thing. And at the same time, this is including the fact that, you know, prior to Carrie Fisher's death, or her previous life, she was an alcoholic and everything. So, you know, this is on the other side of her being after her AA chips and whatnot. So we have someone who was born separated from her sibling, raised as a princess, turns into a general, leading completely different lives in every section that she belongs to. So, I think, you know, conversation-wise and learning everything about lots of different parts of the galaxy, I think older Leia would probably be the most fun person to just hang out, probably at a coffee shop.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a bar.
Young Leia would be too like really aggressive and
yes, young Leia would be, especially Leia on Hoth. I would end up like digging an ice hole. Sticking her in an ice hole. Sticking her up an ice hole. Sure, yeah, open my stalactite.
I dig that, dude. Yeah, General Leia for sure sounds like she's got stories that'll like just keep you engaged. I dig that a lot.
Yeah, ending at like Last Jedi Leia, because Rise of Skywalker Leia is just repeated footage of Last Jedi. So, yeah, stock footage more and more.
Yeah. No, dude, okay, sorry, tangent since you brought it up, but, you know, I saw the movie again with my wife. She saw it for the first time recently, and I couldn't help but notice, but you're right, there are some scenes where Daisy is, or, you know, Rey, the character Rey, is talking to Leia, and it's always, like, a shot of her back, and then I finally put two and two together, like, oh, that's just a stand-in, and they're using stock footage, or at least, you know, footage JJ had from The Force Awakens, and just kind of splicing it into the dialogue. It's still effective; it still works. But if you kind of know what happened, or you know the circumstances, it is a little jarring to see. So
no, yeah. What's that line she has? The a droid is never wrong, or something like that.
Something always, like that. Yeah, yeah.
Always believe trust a droid.
Yeah,
something like that. Right. That's just an awkward. That's an awkward line to say in general. And then having Rey repeat it because, you know, one of the droids did something. I was like, that was one of the most forced moments. Get it, forced moments in the series. So, yeah. All
right.
Okay. Well, that's it for us today, guys. Good conversation. I don't know. Maybe we can bring this up once again. I actually liked that exercise that we just did. So
yeah.
In the future, maybe we can come up with something else along those lines. But at least for now, hopefully you, the audience, enjoyed our conversation. Hopefully you enjoyed our episode. As usual, you know, this is one of many episodes that we've done. And if you ever want to look back, please check out the Two Fanboys, onecasual.podbean.com for our website with all of our previous
episodes. Yep. And on Facebook, you can find us Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Every time the podcast goes live, we'll be posting it there. Any fun news updates and jokes and memes out in the internet, we'll be posting there as well. Not to mention our pretty active Facebook group. So we have, you know, a lot of like-minded fanboys and fangirls who like to share their jokes and their memes and even their stuff. Like, we have friends and fans who are posting their links to their own YouTube. So thank you for doing that, keeping it active. And yeah, if you got your own links in your own podcast, feel free to use that group to share too.
And then you can also always find us on Instagram and Twitter on Two Fanboys, One Casual. And like we always say, anywhere you can find any kind of podcast, we are on that venue.
Okay, that's it for us today. Hope you enjoyed the episode. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Peace to your mamas.
Joe Mama. We never brought up Wilbur Valderrama's show, Yo Mama.
Yo Mama.
That's one of my favorite mamas.
Let's not bring up Wilmer Valderrama again.